in the basement, no longer alone, with my homegirl Therese on the microphone. Music politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see that's what's up. You never know who might run through, legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say. But it doesn't really matter what whoever says, it's always a good show with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Let's see who we got today or what we doing today or whatever it is, it's gonna be good. Woo! Still in the basement, no longer alone, with my homegirl Therese on the microphone. Music politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see that's what's up. You never know who might run through, legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say. But it doesn't really matter what whoever says, it's always a good show with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Let's see who we got today or what we doing today or whatever it is, it's gonna be good. Woo!
I love you all so much.
Adam and Eve.
We can see you now.
I know. And thank God.
Yeah. That's generally the response we get from everybody, but we keep it clean.
What's good? What's good? What's good? How's everybody doing? I hope you are good. I'm doing good. And the weather is changing. I'm really excited about that. I'm excited just to really be breathing today, you know? I mean, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. I pray that all is well with you and yours, whatever you are doing for the rest of this weekend. I hope you enjoy yourself, you know? Life is short. Life is short. All right? Speaking of life, I was thinking about what my life has been up until this point. I've seen a lot of people who have recently retired or are thinking about retirement. And yeah, I'm a little long in the tooth, so I'm thinking about it. I'm, you know, edging closer to it. I'm talking about it all the time. And a lot of people are retiring around me. And they are talking also about this fear of being forgotten, becoming a ghost, or you know, if I'm not working, who's going to know about me? Who's going to care? And that kind of thing. And you know what? We leave a legacy. I think that retirement is the next chapter in your life. And you could disappear if you want to, but you can also live and continue to contribute in any which way you so desire. You know? For me, I'm still in the reminiscing stage, and I can't wait to see what retirement is going to hold for me, what my future life is going to be. Retirement is the beginning of the next chapter. That's it. You know? We can't, you know, cry about everything. I mean, well, we could cry about everything, but, you know, you have to make a determination every day, whether you're retired, working, unemployed, semi-employed, you know, who you're going to be in this world. What you going to contribute? That's up to you. That's up to you.
Brothers and sisters! Brothers and sisters! I don't know what this world is coming to.
What's up, Missy? Timo! For the butters. I came from the gutter, no I came from my mama, but you know what I mean. Hope it's here to stay like permanent crease in your jeans. Me and Missy be the new tag team. Ooh, there it is. We like Ray and Ghost, AG and Showbiz. Republic enemy number one, I Uzi weighs a ton. This is a house run.
if we did our homework, like we knew those songs, so and Pepper, Rockin' Heavy E, DMC, and Heavy D, Daddy King, Slick Rick, too, if you like, those for you and me. In the day, British knights and gold chains, to the prep and cabbage patch, and where your lace is all fat, back in the day.
The way it ought to be, from day KRS-One all the way up to 1993, to M.O.P., we cold as ice, nigga, we rockin' from the Dre days to the Suge Knight, so fuck Chuck Phillips and Bill O'Reilly, if they try to stop hip-hop, we all gon' rally, nigga, post Biggie and Pac, I got a hole out in the city, make a nigga wanna holler like Missy, but fuck it. Let a nigga MC, the best rapper alive, unquestionably. If you riff on your EP, you gonna need an MD. So you got to chill, cause I kill it will, like solid water, dude. Y'all niggas don't get it. Kill it will, solid water, ice cube. That's how hip hop has evolved. Jay-Z's for president, I'm naming Roz the National Guard.
Me and Jigga, J-Hova. I rock the mic right, whether I'm pissed, drunk or sober. Misdemeanor, both finger ringer, I'm super fresh. I've been hot since LL Rock the Kango. Yes, y'all. And
oh, yeah.
Okay, me that nigga Jigga, fresh dress in the morning.
Gotta be, 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 got
Until
got a nigga bracket, legend of the fall to the year like a bandit. Bought mama a crib and a brand new wagon. Now she hits the grocery shop looking lavish. Star Trek group in the race to climb. Girls get loose when they hear the song. 100 on the dash, get me close to God. We don't pray for love, we just pray for God. House so empty, need a centerpiece. 20 racks of table cut from ebony. Cut that ivory into skinny pieces. Then she clean up with her face when I love my baby. You talking money, need a hearing aid. You talking about me, I don't feel ashamed. Switch on my car like a Kenny Lane. Switch on my car, fucking anything. Look what you got.
I've gotta stop my mind working overtime. It's driving me insane. It will not let me live. Oh, it's so negative. Become my enemy. Let me tell you, love, I may not be who you want me. I may not have all the money. You cannot say that my love ain't. You know that it's all about you now. Sometimes I trip and be bugging. Just turn right around and won't love it. Understand me when I'm wanting. Feeling for me coming from you now.
Baby, you know
I love it so
we can't
let. Never know
here with you.
Oh, can we?
Can we talk it out?
Can we?
Can we show it through? Can we make it through?
Can we figure it out? Can we talk it out?
Can we
make it through? I just to love me. I say some things that ain't really. That do me what I say. When I say that I don't love you, said this before, but this time it's true. How can I do the one thing that I look at you and I see a story about me and you.
Baby, you
know
you.
Please let me show you.
I can't.
Toronto, make your body rise like you're puffing on a joint, though. Girl, that's only if you want, though.
You ready?
But since we in the club for now, might as well get another round, round. You know this ain't nothing in your cup. Get here, baby, let me fill it up, fill it up.
Go, girl, girl, it's your birthday, birthday. Over wide, over wide, on your Thursday.
Just like I'm your doctor, all I prescribe is cranberry and vodka. Then I'm trying to kick it, play a little soccer, and bust a couple off. Blocka, blocka, the Henny in your system. You start drunk texting and suddenly you miss them, or even want to diss them. Then you call your girl like, what the hell you gave me? She like, don't blame me, you better do like Jamie. And blame it on the liquor, he works every time. Patron, you my know it's somebody's birthday. Well, will you? Oh, yeah. And I know you're Thursday, but don't know where your glass is.
Oh, girl, girl, it's your birthday, birthday.
Open wide, open wide.
I know you're
Thursday,
Thursday.
Say ah,
say ah,
say ah,
say ah.
And we don't buy no drinks at the bar. You pop champagne, cause we got that dough. Let me hear you say ah,
say ah.
You want me say ah,
say ah.
I saw you walking down the Melrose. You look like an angel, drink out of heaven, girl. I was blown away by your sexiness.
That's what's up, Miss D. Congratulations, baby.
Slow down. I just wanna get to know you. But don't turn around. It's a pretty round thing to see. Slow down. Haven't seen anything so lovely. Now turn around and bless me with your beauty. Don't you make
a butterfly tattoo? Right above your navel, your belly button appears to, just like I like it, girl. Come and take a walk with me, you'll be impressed by the game that I kick you. It's so thorough and real.
Flowers will be on the front.
vibing, but your request I always try to honor.
See me up in the club with 50-11 girls. Posted in the back, got my thing in my grill. Brooklyn brim with my eyes getting low. Never boy in here.
Look who I see. Oh, my.
Never go in here. Gotta look me up and down. All on Instagram, cake by the pound. Look at like the image every time I come around. Jeez, up, tell me how I'm looking, babe.
That is dope.
Drop the bass, main the bass, get lower. Radio, they speed it up, I just go slower. High like trouble, puffing on the music. The man ain't ever seen the booty like this. And why you think you put my name rolling off the tongue? When you wanna smash, I just write another one. I sneezed on the beat, and the beat got sick of. Don't say y'all on his mouth like liquor. Don't say all on his mouth like liquor. Don't say all on his mouth like liquor. Don't say all on his mouth
I'm gonna play it for you, but I really wanted to check in with Rezzy first. How you doing, Rez?
Let's get it together.
Right now, over me.
Good. I'm good. I was having a little tech issue here.
Yeah, man. I know, baby. What happened?
Me not know what the guan, but I'm here.
So,
tried to tell me I didn't have camera access and I couldn't see. I said, yeah, I do.
You have access, period.
I looked, but it's all good now.
Good.
Everybody, happy Saturday.
You know, I am, what the hell is going on here? I'm feeling pretty good. Me personally, I'm in a much better space than I had been.
Amen.
Yeah, which tells me that I give people far much more power than I probably should.
Happens.
You know, people that I let on the inside, if I really consider you a friend, that means the world to me. I don't play with that. I don't play with that, you know? I'm cool with a lot of people, but when you're a recluse, you know, especially in the way that I move throughout the world, which is I don't move throughout the world.
Especially in the way I don't move throughout the world.
Right. If I let you in, that means the world to me. And if something gets funky with that relationship, even if it's something that's, we could work it out, during the time that it's frayed, I get really moody. I get really moody because I just don't fuck with people like that.
Scorpions are moody by nature anyway. They are.
Yeah.
Love them as I do my mom's, with my first Scorpion love.
Yeah.
You know, they're moody by nature. You just have to, but they're also, part of that is the balance of, the way they love. That's a love language too,
you know.
To know when to let them have their space and when to smother them with, you know, loving gravy.
Yeah. It can be a fine line, and you know, I know that I'm not easy, and that's why I tell my mother nobody else could have done what she did with me. You know, like she always has said, commented that if I had a different mother, I would have gone much further, as if in I needed somebody better. I would have been deader. I would have been dead with a different mother. I don't think
Mama Handbook page 7.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody else who could have done with me. We're a perfect match, me and my mom. I needed and still need the mother that I have, and I'm so grateful for her. She's the dopeness. She's not listening right now. She would have loved to hear that, but and last night we were talking. It was about, I was on my way from work, so home from work, so it must have been about 7:30 or so. I called her from the car.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, yeah, I'm getting ready to go to bed. I said, Mom, why are you going to bed so early? She said, I'm sleepy. She said, but I'm always sleepy. I said, well, you know, rest easy, Mom. You know, take it easy. You don't have anything you have to do. So if you want to go to bed, go to bed. She said, well, I hope I wake up in time for your show. I said, 7:30, Mom. She said, that don't mean nothing. So I guess she didn't wake up in time, you know, but I'll hit her up after the show and make sure she's still moving, because, you know, the other thing is we are sleepy people. However, yeah, I can't wait.
You're busy-minded.
Right now. Yeah, busy-minded. But I'm Tammy too much, right? Tammy too much, always doing too much. However, howsoever, I love to sleep when I can.
I love to sleep. It is, I don't even have a word for it. When I get into a good, like, if I could just, like, sleep maybe a good half day, and then, you know, the rest of the day just lie in bed, is that the right word, lie in bed, yeah, I'd do it. I'd really do it. Now, my brain, another, you know, like,
moving right along. But my body, it could really, really use a good dose of stillness.
Yeah.
You ever felt like the ping pong ball? No, the what's that? The not the slot machine. What's the one that you bump and you play? Ping pong. Not ping pong.
Oh,
pinball.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to laugh at myself last night because it was so funny. I couldn't stop moving my legs. Can't move. It's like, it literally, it hurt to sit down. Like every time I bent my knees, I was like, oh, the hell?
What is that about?
I don't know. And it kept happening. So I stopped sitting. Just kept moving.
That's craziness.
It was absolutely, I'm telling you, I kid you not.
Wow,
yeah.
That's insane. But I guess it's better to move than have to sit.
I don't know. I would have thought I wanted to sit. I felt like I needed to I craved sitting down.
Hmm.
But when I did it, it didn't feel good.
Hmm.
Like
no,
literally.
Yeah, that's not good either.
Yeah, even when I got into the car to end the night, I was just like, oh.
What about when you got in bed? How about laying down? How was that?
That was quick and sudden. I remember that. I just, you know, you just had me thinking. I'm like, I don't remember.
Mm.
But I do remember trying to sit twice. The first time I did it in front of someone, they were like, oh, you okay? Like, I don't know. My knees, I didn't stay seated long. But on my feet, and moving around, even skating, because I had my sneakers on, and you know, everybody that knows me knows I hate lacing my sneakers. So, you know, and it's just weird how that's going to follow me, how that's followed me all my life, not lacing my sneakers.
Wow.
Even when I played sports, it was always a whistle blown for me not lacing my sneakers. I don't know what that was about, but it still exists in my adult life. I don't lace my shoes. If they lace, it's because something else is going on, but not. But then, you know, they move about, skate. That's all I was doing last time. Just
wow. You know, I don't lace my shoes. Well, I do. I try to tie them, and then they come apart because I don't do it very well. I never really learned the art of tying my shoes. And so people are oftentimes telling me, your shoes untied. I'm like, I know. But it's not because I didn't try.
I tuck mine in my boots or sneakers or whatever it is. Put them through the eyelets so that the laces go on the inside and stuff them down, and that's it.
That's a good trick. That's a good trick.
Well, that's how I learned, so they won't dangle on the outside and get dirty.
Mm,
that'd be a cool situation. Just lace them on the inside and tuck them in.
Yeah, people always think I'm going to trip. I trip if they are tied. It's like, you know, because I've always had poor balance, walk funny, you know, eh.
Sleep is my everyday crush. Oh.
Do you do double bows? Now she fancy. Here she go. Here you go. Do you do double bows with the triple axle handle? No. No. But yeah, sleep is everything.
Yeah, I used to be able to sleep standing up. Prop your body a certain way. On tour, I was always napping in the wings in the dark. Could be in this position, my arms crossed, sleep as hell. And as soon as you said something to me, it'd be like a slow, yeah, that's it. Because I don't know what, oh my God, just insanity.
Yeah.
Insanity.
When I used to live in New York and I would commute on the subway, I could go to sleep standing up. I could go to sleep leaning on the pole. I could go to sleep.
I think New York is good. We've mastered a few arts, particularly as it relates to that subway.
Yeah, that subway's
looking awake.
Yeah. But I did get my chain snatched one time when I was sleeping. And I learned a big lesson from that. You know, I was sitting on the, you know, where they have the two-seaters. Never go to sleep on the two-seaters because it's too close to the door.
Right.
And LaVon says, I've marched while I was basically asleep.
Wow.
That's probably that, like, that boot camp time. I can't even imagine that, man.
Ooh, right? Marching asleep. When does your body go into autopilot and your brain is just giving itself a rest? You know, like, what happens?
Yeah, what is that?
When your body is still moving, but you don't feel, like, it could feel a little like narcolepsy, because you don't remember, like, leaning over into your spaghetti.
I know, right?
You're eating it, and then it's like, you're waking up, and you're clearing your face. Like, what happened?
LaVon said battle stations night, the night before graduation.
Mm.
That's something, man. You know, shout out to you, LaVon, for your service. Thank you again and again and again. And to everyone out there trying to keep us all safe, sacrificing your lives and your freedom, basically. Because I think, for me, it seems as though you sign over your basic freedoms to join the military. Although, you know, you reap rewards, but we all reap the rewards. And a lot of people don't appreciate your sacrifice. I do. We got ours snatched at a hip-hop concert at the Garden in the 80s, or was that Nassau Coliseum? I'm old, laughing out loud. But it was snatched by an 11-year-old from Brooklyn. Huh? What? You should have spanked his butt. All right. I don't believe in spankings. I do. But I don't.
That would require a hard slap to the jaw. Like, what are you doing? But I'm glad that you didn't get hurt. Don't sacrifice, you know.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individuals expressing them and not those of WJBR Internet Radio. We basically don't believe in violence here.
No.
Especially we don't beat up on children, right?
Right.
Right. Right. Is a kind of autopilot. Everything is drilled into you a million times. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I stopped wearing gold chains shortly thereafter while wearing them out in public. I hear you. I used to have so many gold chains, I can't even say where. I only know where one is now. And I had multiple. I don't even know where they are. I used to get my body squeezed standing near the door on the train. He'll squeeze it.
You know what?
Or feel it and run off the train. Huh? I stopped standing near those doors. My homie, Sharon, did snatch him up and try to get it back, but his crew, older boys, surrounded us. We were teens ourselves. Scary circle. We ain't show it, though. Aw, sorry you had that experience.
Speaking of booty squeeze.
Squeeze that booty. I'm sorry.
Reminded me of something that happened to me on a train, because I was thinking, oh, I never had any train incidents. Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it was in the late 80s, maybe early 90s. And, you know, I was very slim at that time. And I recall someone trying to, that squeezing and jumping off the train doors was in style, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things, you know, you just mentioned not sitting in a two-seater. There are a lot of things you shouldn't do near that door. Like, if you can get in and get past those doors, you'd be good, because there's a lot of quick traffic near those doors, right? But this particular time, this was a smaller gentleman. Like I said, I was always fast with my hands. When he went to squeeze my butt, I thought he was actually trying to, you know, pick my pocket in my brain, but he was actually squeezing my butt the way his hand landed. But in one, like, fail swoop, like I want to call it, I was able to grab his hand and kick him at the same time. So when I kicked him, because he was already in motion toward the door, trying to squeeze and run, he went out that much faster, you know? So it kind of looked like a fluid motion of just grab, snatch, boom, kick, out the door. But the doors were a little slower than the motion of his body, so he hit the doors and then they opened and he went out. No. That was a thing for a minute in the 80s.
Yeah.
Booty squeezing and all kinds of obscenities, these sickos.
You know, this is the thing, ladies. ladies and gentlemen, raise your children right, especially your little boys.
Little pervs.
Let them cry. Give them a freaking doll to play with. Could learn compassion and love and nurturing.
And fathers, demonstrate love with your wives or your girlfriends.
In front of, in respect of women. I mean, what the hell? Why must men be seen as predators and women have to, you see a man and it's dark and you got to clutch and or strengthen or, you know, you got to be prepared. Why? Because it could be at any given moment. You see a group of guys, that's even worse. You see a man that, just any man. I don't care what you dress like. Any, what you, what color, I don't give a free flying fungu. You know, why are men predators?
Some
stop.
Men.
Not right. Not every man. Not every man. But if one in four girls, if four women,
those stats are high,
are in the room together, one of them has been molested by whom? More times out of ten, a man.
They say one in three, actually.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because the stats are getting higher.
Right.
But I mean, men, if you feel like you have to either, when you have an argument with your woman, your wife, your ex, your baby mama, whatever, you feel like you got to get violent, go get help.
And verbal is violent as well.
Yeah, go. And that's something that women got to work on, you know, the mouth. You know, you can't just say just anything to people. And men got to work on that too. That's not the thing I'm talking about, the verbal abuse that we do that to each other. People, men and women do that. And a woman can slice you down. And when a woman does that, men, use your big boy words. And if you feel emotion and you don't know how to express it, walk away. Use your legs. Walk away. Don't hit, don't punch, don't squeeze, don't get physical. You know, hey, free speech. And if I don't like what you say, I'm going to walk away. And don't fucking grab me and touch me and tell me don't walk away. Who the fuck are you? Uh-uh. I'm walking away. I'm walking away. You need to learn to walk away also. Allow little boys to cry. It is okay for boys to cry. It's okay for you, Mr. Man, can cry rather than kill the mother of your children. Okay? Cry. Go somewhere in a corner and cry. Get your hurt out. There's groups. There's so much available to you. Nobody has to die because your fucking feelings and pride is hurt.
You know, that's another piece, too. If,
sorry, I had to go there.
You're right about a lot of what you said. And, you know, to add to that, you know, there's a certain responsibility. Like, we all grow up, hopefully, we're growing, you know. And, you know, there is trauma. If there are things in your backstory that, you know, perhaps your dad wasn't available. Perhaps your mother was a tyrant. Perhaps, you know, I don't know, whatever it is. You know, there's a certain point in life that you cannot suppress and act as if. That suppression is a killer. That's suppressing whatever it is that you went through because, oh, you know, you just excuse it away. Oh, well, that's just the way I am. Oh, that's just, you know, it's just me. That's a sickness. That's what you call an avoidant personality. People who avoid things do not avoid things in reality. They suppress them to the point where at some point they're going to rear their ugly head. And sometimes it is a traumatic experience. Doesn't matter what it is, that will launch into all of your backstory and it all comes spilling out, you know, in one fell swoop. And doesn't matter how much you run and try to protect it, it's sloppy and it's all over the place. And as an adult, when you find yourself spiraling, You know, you bear yourself first. Forget about what it looks like in the world, because in the world it's going to look real, real messy. But you owe yourself latitude of getting help when you need it, period. Period. You know, there are a lot of things we all didn't deserve growing up, and you can just belabor those points and talk about them until the cows come home. The reality is nobody cares, you know. If you don't care enough to get help, nobody's going to care to get the help for you. And it doesn't matter how you slice it, call it, what you want to project it. Not taking responsibility for yourself and your mental health is not okay.
No, it's not.
It's just not okay.
It's not.
A lot of us out here living real fucked up and trying to blame others for their shit. A lot of us out here doing it.
It's true.
It's not okay.
It's true.
And all you got to do is sit still and watch it unravel. That's it. But at the end of the day, you owe it to yourself to get the help you need and quickly.
Exactly. Mrs. Matthews says, the earlier he understands his emotions and how to properly express them, as an adult, he would have mastered his sentiments, thus no need to project his insecurities on others.
Bay,
especially bay. Others that are weaker than him physically. You know what I mean?
Miss Matthews, you hit it right on the head with that one.
That is the point. There's no way that one can heal themselves via projecting their pain on the undeserving. That'll only incur more mal karma. I'm digging it, Mrs. Matthews. You're on point.
It's right on target with that. And
absolutely.
What happens is when you don't fix your own shit, you feel internally inferior. And then anybody that's standing in their confidence or standing in their whatever it is or standing in the work that they possibly have done on themselves, you become low-key envious of it, and you project your insecurities all over the place.
Yep.
And then it becomes about the other person, so you still not take a responsibility for your bullshit.
No, and then you want to lash out.
That part.
You want to hurt somebody because you feel emasculated, and it's all internal. You did all of it to yourself. Or maybe something really, really happened to you as a child. Maybe mommy didn't give you enough hugs. I don't know. You know, maybe you watch mommy service too many other men, you know, and it's done something with your understanding of what a woman is. And how she is to be treated. Who knows? Maybe you saw your mom get her head bashed in. Maybe that's what love represents. I'm here to tell you. And if you're within the sound of my voice, now you know. And ladies, we have to let whoever we choose to be involved with, especially on a romantic tip, love does not hurt. Should not hurt. It can if it's unrequited, but it's not supposed to hurt physically at the very least. Let's start there. That's a good starting point.
Low key to high key to deadly. Some of the psychic videos I heard on Malcolm X and Tupac, the reader said the amount of envy and jealousy that has surrounded those men by those who knew, let alone strangers, also envied them too. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. You are the million-dollar winner.
You know?
We are here to work on ourselves. What sane mind could ever envy that? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And the work for each of us is not easy. I don't think that anyone, you know, even people we look at and we say they're assholes. It's not easy being an asshole, being stuck there.
It hurts being an asshole, I'm sure.
Yeah. We look at people who have a lot of money and you know, fame, whatever, and we think, oh, but they're rich, so they shouldn't have any problems. More money, more problems, I think. Okay. I mean, I wouldn't know personally. I ain't got more money. But I, you know, I have grown and acquired more in my life. I see the point. It ain't easy. It ain't easy. You know, I remember thinking if I only had an extra $100, because people always talking about, yeah, I'll give you $20. You got $20 to just give somebody? What? When you get to the point that you can give someone $20, there's other shit going on. Don't worry about it. Everybody got something.
This is one of my favorite quotes. I don't know if Tupac said it initially, but thank you for citing it. When you find that people need you to shrink who you are so that they can feel comfortable about their, don't do it.
Yeah. He says, I shouldn't have to shrink who I am to make you feel comfortable. But I think that quote, the original quote comes from Maya Angelou.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I could find it. Since Papi Chulo ain't here.
Even if you're not fiat rich, if you were conceived in righteous love, divinity, you'll possess an aura, shine. Those that conceive in lust do not have and cannot buy or steal. You know what, Miss Matthews? You know what? I could shout with her too. Hold my mule. You know that expression, hold my mule, is always tickles me. It always, I don't care, you know, and we have another friend who uses that expression, and it, you know, you are dropping some jewels, Miss Matthews, and it is what it is, you know, and sometimes it's unfortunate, and you don't see things coming, and, but when you do, when you're clear on what it is, yield. Dr. Maya Angelou counseled Tupac on the set of Poetic Justice and Beyond. She loved him. You know something? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that I knew. I'm not looking at you guys right now. Sorry. I can't do both because we'll all disappear in a minute if I start digging. That's not cool. It would not be. But yeah, there's a quote, and Cheryl quote says this quote verbatim. And I believe it's Dr. Angelou, but I don't know. Anyway, I was talking earlier about my mom and saying how nobody could have raised me as she did. And that, you know, she and I believe, and, you know, she might have a different feeling about it. But I feel like we were put together purposefully, that nobody else could have raised me to be who I am and to add what I've added to the world in my small little corner of the world, little pieces that I've added to the world. I think I would not be the same me without her, obviously.
Hmm.
She's been my champion through everything. You know, she'll tell me when I'm wrong. I'm not saying that. But whatever it is that I want to do, when I remember as far back as being like, well, forever, but when I remember being in the 10th grade and I was taking geometry, I loved geometry. And I used to come home quoting theorems and stuff. My mother would call people and have me quote the theorems to them. Like, she always just supported it, whatever it was. And you know, I just love my mother, and I don't see her enough, but I love her. And I bought her the portal, the Facebook portal, so that she can just touch it, and then, you know, it calls me and she can see me face to face whenever she wants. And she got it, and she calls me when she wants to see me, and you know, we chat even while I'm at work, if I can, or at least I'll pop on and say, Ma, I can't talk right now. I'll call you back or whatever. But, you know, I love her and I miss her because, you know, I'm in Jersey and she's not. So, you know, I just wanted to say that because now I know she's listening. Now I know she's listening.
Is she on?
Yeah, let me see if I can bring her on.
Hi, Mr. Lawrence.
Mom, you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hi, how you doing?
We're good. I was talking about you early.
Thank you for what you said.
What? Say what?
Thanks for what you just said.
Yeah, I had said it earlier when you weren't on, but I saw you popped on, and I said it'd be a shame if you didn't hear the kind words I said. My birthday is November 20th. You could, you know, maybe get me a gift and pay me for that one.
Yeah, thanks. How you doing, Trey?
All right. Oh, Therese.
I'm good, Lawrence. How you doing? Good to hear from you.
I'm doing good. Just got up.
Nice. So, Mom.
Huh?
There are people who think I am very funny. What do you say about that?
I don't think you're funny.
Not at all?
I don't know why they think so.
You don't think I'm funny at all? People think I could be a stand-up comedian, Mom.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Maybe I don't see you enough.
Maybe, but you've known me all my life. So you don't. So
and
I'm
I
not.
I don't remember you being so funny. Now your brother's a comedian.
Well, yeah, he's funny, but he's not funny like I'm funny. Like, I'm not funny like he's funny, and he's not funny like I'm funny. I'm funny. You don't think I'm funny?
Your grandmother's funny.
Grandma is funny. She's still funny. That's true. Grandma's funny. But so but you're funny. Excuse me?
Yeah,
you are funny. But
I know.
So everybody in the family is funny except for me?
Everybody in the family's funny.
Except for me.
I don't know, Duane. I don't remember you being so funny. I remember you being serious. You're serious. With me and around family.
So
you agree?
I think that somebody has to be serious because everybody's funny. Somebody.
That's where it is, okay? So outside with everybody else, you're funny. But with your funny family, you're serious.
I guess if there's a fire, we can't all be standing around laughing about it. Somebody has to grab the water.
That's very true. Very true.
But what you didn't realize is what I just said was funny.
What if we're all standing around and laughing and you had to rescue us?
Yeah, that's funny. It's not funny? Oh man,
this better be a soundbite.
Mom.
Yeah.
I want you to do me a favor. I want you to give us a drop for the show. Okay, I want you to say, hi, my name is Dolores. I'm Javon's mother, and you're listening to, what is she listening to?
Brunch in the Basement.
Okay, that's fine. Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese. Can you say that?
I think. You know, all I right, forget a lot.
I know. We'll try it out.
Okay. Hi, my name is Dolores. I'm Javon's mother. I want you to know that you're listening to In the Basement with Javon and Therese.
And you added something. You go, girl. Thank you, Mom. Thank you. She said, keep listening. I love
yeah,
it.
Okay.
I love you, Mom. You the bomb.com. And nobody could have raised me because, you know how I was. You know how I am. It ain't
but
easy.
You're all right with me. You're all right with me. You know that.
Yeah, I know. You're all right with me too, lady. And I am funny, though. But I am funny.
Therese.
Yes, ma'am. Therese.
Is she funny? Yeah.
Tell the truth, Therese.
I find her to be funny, yes.
Really?
Mostly when she's not trying to be, too. It's like something else that comes out.
Okay.
She says, really?
She does not. When I tell you, my mother stood up in front of a crowd of people and read this thing that she wrote out about me. And as she was reading it, and it was all nice, and when you was a baby, and blah, blah, blah. And then one day you came home and said, your friends really think you're funny. I didn't understand it because I don't think you're funny at all.
Right.
She said, right. Do you remember that, Mom?
Yeah.
I have it on video.
It was at your birthday party or something.
Yes, it was at my, yep.
Oh, it sounds like a roast.
It was a roast. And,
right.
And it, yeah. And she roasted me. And Pop said, you are funny, Mrs. Armstrong.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, Mom. I'm gonna let you go. Keep listening, okay? Love you.
I will, surely.
Okay.
You'll have a good day.
Okie dokie.
See you later.
Bye.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Talking
with you. That's my mama.
Hilarious.
She is funny, but she really, really, that was completely true and off the cuff.
Listen, at a certain point in life, you know, folks stop trying. You know how you try to make things nice so that people can palate it?
Right.
At a certain point, you forget all the adjectives that go around with trying to make it nice, and it just becomes straight talk for straight understanding. She's like, I thought I was going to fall out of my chair. That's going to be a sound bite, I swear.
Yes. Yeah, so, yeah, no, she doesn't think I'm funny. As a matter of fact, no one in my family thinks I'm funny. They are funny. Yeah, she is an Aquarian, Mrs. Matthews. She's definitely an Aquarian. My Aquarian love is my mom.
Your grandmother is hilarious, too.
Yeah, my grandmother's funny if you're not related to her. I mean, but she loves to laugh.
First, yes. I think that's what's adorable. She loves to laugh, and she feels like she loves to laugh. You know, even when she's telling stories, it's like, you know, there's always, you're waiting for the punchline. Like, with
it's
baby,
gonna be
you're
funny.
Waiting
yeah.
for it.
Absolutely.
The energy about her. But she's hilarious.
Yeah.
Your mother's hilarious.
And my brother's funny. They are comical. I used to say I was raised in a family of clowns. How could I not be funny? Everything they do is a joke. Like, everything is fun. Not everything they do is a joke, but everything is funny.
But you know, that's a good thing. You know, you could have, listen, what's the other side of growing up with no laughter in your home?
Yeah,
you
I can't imagine.
Angry and abusive all the time.
Yeah, I can't imagine. But however, every time we get together, regardless of the circumstance, is a bunch of laughter. Every funeral, I'd be so embarrassed. Here they come. The loud, funny.
Well, that's where I'd appreciate it. You know, because sometimes I think, you know, well, funeral services, of course, are for their living.
But they love a funeral.
And it's a celebration, so there should be laughter. But we
not
we,
that they know. Love that people die. I'm not saying that. They hate that people die. But they get together. Oh, my God, I ain't seen you for years. I'm like, oh, God. And my grandmother, and then I'm the one sitting there all emotional like this. And my grandmother's like, what's wrong with you?
Well,
you know, Aunt Mary in the coffin, that's what's wrong with me, you know.
Well, she be all right, Aunt Mary, fine.
Right?
You know, like, it is what it is. I remember, and the person shall be remain nameless, but I remember one time there was a situation where someone was getting ready to rush out of work. Because their aunt, they just, my aunt died, I need to go. All right, let me just.
Oh, Therese, I know where you're going. Well, she dead now. What you rushing for?
Yeah, you know, it was me. The person shall remain nameless. But the conversation was one that I was in. And, okay, the scope of the conversation was this, though. This was a person that had outstanding work in the eve of an audit. Outstanding work that they made every excuse in the book to not want to do. And it was always, I have to do this, I have to do that. Just, you know. And the weight of a lot of the cases were bananas. And there was nobody that on her team, her entire team, was complaining about not wanting to work with her to assist her because it was so out of whack. So what happens? Then they bring other folk in. Me. And I had the responsibility of assisting her bring her charts up to standard.
Mm.
So we broke them all down and we looked to see where the, well, first I did an internal audit of them to see what was going on. Bananas. Okay, so where do we start? Where are your documents then, but you don't put them in the appropriate, you don't upload them appropriately. So, you know, I'm pulling my hair out. Not only is the confidentiality in breach, you know, you got files with folders with maybe years worth of information in them and they're not separated. So it's not Jackie's file and Rhonda's file. It's Jackie, Rhonda, and Travis and everybody else and they're in one file. All right. So, you know, it's raining outside too. I gotta leave early. Oh, well, okay. You have far to drive. Oh yeah, you know, my car. Okay. Third time, and here comes Auntie, dying. So I asked two questions before I said what I said though. Oh, my aunt just died, and I have to leave early. Well, you know, we have the audit. 2 days, and we have at least 2 days, 2.5 days worth of stuff to correct. You want to leave here and, yeah, but my aunt just died. Do you care for your aunt? Does she live in your home? No. Okay. So she's already dead. There's nothing you can do. So you may as well stay here. Calm down. And go afterwards. Leaving early is not going to do anything for your aunt. You know, you told me she was already deceased. She doesn't live with you. It's not like you got somebody in your home that is waiting for the coroner. Nothing. You know, you just need to run out because now you're using that excuse. I didn't say all that piece to her, but I did say enough for her to understand that you weren't leaving because your aunt passed away. And didn't, you know, after I found out she didn't live in her household and somewhere else and you just needed to dart out, why? Were you going to assist bringing her back? No. Wasn't being insensitive. But at the end of the day, I mean, being direct, putting the reality on the table, it's just what it is. Like, you darting out of the door because somebody passed away, unless there is some immediate situation about it, meaning they left a small child in the home and your aunt was cared for, and by the time you got the call, she was already cared for, but you needed to race where exactly? I wasn't understanding her contribution to that jam. So therefore, she had to stay and finish her charts and not dump the work on the rest of the people there that had worked so hard to make sure that they were compliant and their cases were, you know, appropriate and, you know, didn't want to fail an audit based on a ratio taken of others that was not complete. Some may see that as an insensitive conversation. Others may see that as direct and to the point. I want to further that to say that you have to be in the moment of what was going on and take the entire thing into perspective. It wasn't about that one window. It was about the whole week for me. The whole week, still a little things, and shout out to her if she ever watches this, because you know who you are. And
Mrs. Matthew says, I want to see your natal chart. Your Libra son did not propel you to say that. Now, I agree, but surprised a Libra said it. There must be something else going on in that chart that was not very Libran of you.
It actually was when you take it in its entirety, though. You know, because there were a few things that I said, okay, well, rain, heavy rain, car not working, brakes. Okay. you know, but that was like the third time. So as a Libra, you have to, one of the most powerful things I think you can understand about a Libra is there's a lot we're going to take, but then when we've had enough, you never want a Libra in scale to become unbalanced, because we'll always be able to, with the person that's there that's going to rationalize, that's going to help you see things differently. But when shit gets bananas, we're the worst people you ever, you do not need a Libra scale, Libra scales unbalanced.
I'd like to see the rest of your chart as well, because you think that everything comes from Libra, but there's so much more to you than just that. Libra's your sun.
Yeah.
Your moon and your ascending sign has a lot to do with the way you move. So here, we in America, when I say here, we look a lot at the sun sign, and everybody thinks about their sun sign, but you also have a moon sign. There's the sun and the moon, and then there's the ascending sign. Ms. Matthews, would you agree with that? The sun, moon, and ascending sign are the signs that, the fire. And how you doing, Brandon? Brandon said Libras are his favorite people. Of course they are, Brandon. That's why you said, hi, my beautiful ones, green eyes, and Javon. You see, I have eyes. Why didn't you say brown eyes? And Therese, why didn't you say that? What? I'm just saying, I'm not hating, just celebrating brown eyes. Okay, hello, I got eyes too, I can see. I've been saying this ever since. Ever since, Therese, and they don't get it. I have eyes too.
See, Mom missed that one, because that was funny.
I know, Mom. Wait, Mom is still on. Let's see. Hey, Mom, did you hear my joke?
Funny.
You thought it was funny? Yes.
Yeah, that was funny.
Thanks, Mom. Thank you.
Because you do have eyes, beautiful eyes.
Oh, you really feeling me now. Okay, thank you.
All right. And Therese has gorgeous eyes.
See, okay.
Thank you, Mom.
Okay, all right. See, therein lies the conundrum. That is, even when my own mother, okay, is like, she just wanted to say that I had nice eyes so that I wouldn't feel bad when she told her truth, which is Therese has beautiful eyes. Thank you, Mom, for trying to get me in the, you know, trying to make me feel better. I'm putting you back on hold.
Thank you.
Hold on. Bye.
He is the cutest ever.
My own mother. I got to believe it now. Jesus.
He's the cutest ever.
I got to tell the coach queen, even my mother, you know, is all about Therese's eyes. Her eyes.
The eyes are bloodshot. Thanks.
Yo, sound like I had a good dose of Haterade this morning. Okay. I'm cracking myself up.
Ms. Matthews, do you do charts? Do you do, I need somebody to do my chart. I got to find out again what time I was playing.
If Ms. Matthews won't do it, I know who will. I have light brown eyes, so I'm sorry, pretty brown eyes. You know that I love you. Oh, thank you, Brandon. But I had to elicit it. Okay? I had to beg and plead, but thank you anyway, because I do appreciate it. Tell me more about my eyes and my Bugs Bunny voice. Thank you for that, Pops. Yeah. Brandon. How you doing, Brandon? I think this is a good time for this. Woo.
Of reading. Crying for more. messenger, ready to speak. Her voice says, I love you.
I love you.
And it's making me weep. Hey there, little girl. May I just say, I love you.
Tell her how you feel, Rick.
Love is a brown skin. Glow in my eyes. Think it's time that I told you. Don't you realize you're such a queen. Woman, you're such a size. And I want you to know that.
You know what?
I love. And I bet you didn't know that, girl. You didn't know that I need you right now, baby. Just right now, baby. And I bet you didn't know that, Emily.
Yo, I love Smokey Robinson, but hold up, I gotta play this one for Misty J. She asked for it. I mean, not Misty, for LaVon. She asked for it earlier. Let's do it. I think this is what you asked for, Misty. I mean, oh, Jesus. LaVon, is this what you asked for? I must have got it right.
Woke up Sunday morning, got a little bad news today. They say my life ran out of living, and time is slowly ticking away. I gotta be strong, gotta hold on. Sometimes I'd rather give up instead. Seem like I'm better off dead.
Black bear in molasses.
Oh, black bear in
molasses.
It'll never change.
Gotta keep pushing on.
Push along. Myself a time or two. Still life goes on. It
song. It feels sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels sad, you know.
Mm-hmm. Ear-shaped cannabis. Mike
Oh,
bite.
I saw that. Mike bite. Mike is doing the damn thing.
That
with
is that's
arm.
Something that because he bit the guy's ear. Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
That's very creative. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Cannabis-infused gummies are called Mike bites in homage to Mike's.
Well, shaped like an ear with a little bite in it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that song. It reminds me. It has a dare I say a Prince flavor. Just the idea of blackberry molasses sounds like something Prince would have came up with, to be honest. Right?
Mm-hmm.
he was very into food, I think.
Raspberry berets.
Yeah, you know. And if you recall the thing he did with the Muppets, and it was about breakfast foods or...
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes, which was
yes,
mad
yes.
cool. I really
no, my two, he was the first, and the second is Jill Scott. She's when she made songs about food. You know,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh,
Jill
right.
could sing anything and it be sexy. As there's a song that she did with Kirk Franklin. It's a straight-up gospel song.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sinful when I listen to it because I'm like, Jill. Jilly from Philly. That woman is just, she just exudes sexuality. She can't help it. She can't help it. She's beautiful.
She is.
She says, you know, you shouldn't be beholden to just one aspect of who you are. If that, you know, and that's, I mean, hell, I went to see Jilly.
At,
you know, every time I've seen her quite a few times, and that's how much I enjoy it. But one time, I saw her here in Jersey, and the whole audience had to take out a cigarette when she was done. Even those of us who didn't smoke. Like, can I bum a Lucy? Can I bum a cigarette, please?
Can I bum a Lucy? That's from New York.
yes, that's a straight up boogie down. Because I was like, yo, Jilly, what you just did to the whole audience is just profound. That was amazing. Everybody was on edge. Okay, everybody was like, okay. It was like, look, everybody knows I'm a shockaholic. Straight up. Chaka Khan is that she's my everything. Everybody, my mama knows it. Don't try to play like you don't know. Yeah, nope. Right? Even my mother calls me when Chaka Khan is on TV or when Chaka Khan is anywhere. Chaka Khan. My mom knows. Everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
But what Jilly did, everybody in the house was like, wow, that was amazing. Can I have some more, please?
Shout out to Jill. Yeah, see, that's a little too close to fam. That's, you know.
I feel you.
You know.
You don't have to say nothing. You don't have to say nothing.
You know what she does. She knows what she does, and she's one of the best that does it.
But see, I don't know Jill. I don't know Jill Scott personally, and you know, I'd like to. That's all I'm gonna say about that.
We can start selling basement-type juices like Javon's Juicy Juice and Therese Keys and Pop's Peach Schnapps, only sold after dark in the basement.
You know, mm-hmm. Javon's Juicy Juice and Therese Keys and Pop's Peach Schnapps.
Peach Schnapps. Peach Schnapps, Crackles, and Pops.
You know. Love it. Mhm. Pops Peach. Okay.
Peachy.
You know what? Okay. So, what else do we need to do before the show wraps up? Let's have a Black History
moment.
Because guess what? Every day and every month is Black History Day and Black History Month. Let's get it. Thank you. Okay, so on today in 1968, where are y'all? I lost y'all. I'm doing too much. These are the students of Howard University having a staging a sit-in. 1968, March 19th.
Stage.
That's right. And they sat in because they were demanding more African-American classes based on and purposing teaching about Black history, African history, Afro-American history. And with them bringing this to the forefront, they sat for 5 days, and they accomplished a lot because Howard then began teaching more African and Afro-American studies, Black history. Shout out to every student who ever sat in for a noble cause. And shout out to every Black person who ever stood up for what they believed in so they wouldn't fall for anybody's bull. Yes.
Question.
Yes. Wait, are they still there? Yes.
Isn't Howard considered historically back?
Yes.
Okay. So.
HBCU.
Thank you. Because I always mix that up. My question would be then, why? Because I'm sure there's asking, or perhaps there's a process before you actually go as far as to do a sit-in.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is a historically Black college, university, why are we sitting in get what we need as far as information at a request of information for more Black information and studies?
Okay, so when you think of the plight of Black Americans in this country, or the American Negro, or which back then I think we would call colored people. I don't know what the hell. It's always been something.
Amazing.
Something estranged, right? Mm-hmm. That was really like right post-segregation. And so I'm assuming, because I was only 4 years old at the time, not even four yet. I was like 3 and a half. So I can't tell you exactly. However, my opinion is that one thing we were trying to do as a people is assimilate and show that segregation is good and that we could do what you do and learn what you learn. And the focus, I think, because if you remember historically, schools in Black or poor neighborhoods, whatever, books were less older and not as whatever. And so I think Howard initially was trying to have their curriculum to match the other curriculums. However, we know that the other curriculums were not doing Black history and African American studies and African studies. I think that the students probably started bringing it to the attention of, you know, one by one, some by some, to the administrators of the school, like, hey, you know, we want to learn the truth. We know that Columbus didn't discover America or whatever.
Right.
So also thinking, okay, so if the students in 68, let's just say they must have been born about 1950 or beyond, like in the 40s. Right? Late 40s. Mm-hmm. Then the headmaster of the school, you know, the deans and the principals, they were probably born in the 20s and the 30s.
Okay.
And so their experience, you know, of that time would be, no, we don't want to cause trouble. You know, we want to just show that we can be on the same, you know, we don't need to stir up, and what are you talking about? We're all history. American history is Black history. We're all the same. And okay. The students sat down and said, no, the hell we not. We have our own, and we need to know the truth. And it's because of students like those that we know more broadly and widely the things that we know today. We stand on those kids' shoulders. And, you know, yeah, that's my opinion. When I think about it, I hadn't
Thank
thought about
that.
It until this moment when you asked. I'm you sure about not. Tonight I'll think about it more and I'll come up with some more
no,
shit.
No, you kind of psychosocial the fuck out of that. And I
yeah.
appreciate it because it did land it in perspective because, you know, assuming that, you know, all that you said were true because I could actually visualize what you were saying too,
mm-hmm,
you know. Because, you know, at some point, you know, when you have an older administration, you know, you have younger folk that have fresher ideas and want to be in command of their own learning and current information and empowered information. Yes, you know, you're going to push, you
mm-hmm,
know,
mm-hmm.
to get your curriculums. And thank you for that, you know.
If you think about it, Rez, this is the generation because this is – May 19th of 68.
Right.
So they are moving in from an MLK, Mega Evers kind of thought process to a Malcolm Black Panthers thought mindset by 68. These kids are Black Panther kids. You know what I'm saying? They're like, no, you're going to teach us all power to all the people, and we need to learn more about our people.
Right. And obviously it was a revolutionary act, our historically Black college.
Yeah.
So that was the rebel of their time
right.
to get them started. So I guess the internal curriculum is continuing to develop, you know.
Right.
I can't imagine, you know, you having anything historically Black and not having and teaching the truth of the matter and not teaching the things that we essentially need to know. And even today, making sure that, you know, kids have what they need. I know they have some amazing teachers in them. Shout out to two people that I know that are doing amazing jobs doing. And, you know, and I don't even have to be in their classrooms to know what they bring to the table. Because of how they move in their minds that I've experienced and witnessed. So by that I mean shout out to Frenchie Davis and shout out to Weta Washington. Both of them down there doing Weta at Spelman and Frenchie Davis over at Howard
mm-hmm.
doing the damn thing with the kids. So you can't say that folks are not contributing and going back, you know, in the way that they can, you know. It's amazing to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, shout out to them. I mean, it was, they were bold and they sat in, they weren't going to, no, we're not going backwards, you know, because every step forward, you know, the powers that be want to push you three steps backwards. Every leader that came and spoke up, they killed. And so that generation saw that firsthand and they pushed forward. You know, it's a constant push. It you know, it's all, there's always going to be the necessity for that push and forwarder and forwarder and forwarder, even though that's not really a word, but we have to continue.
Right.
Of course, Pop says he's a headmaster at Pop University in Harlem. I'm going to let that go right there.
I read that and I just chuckled. I'm like, okay. Chula. Hey, Walt.
What's up, Walt? I saw you last night. I was going to go live, but I saw you doing your thing, and I said, Walt got it. I said, oh, that's I just went to bed after that. I said, okay. I see you doing your thing. And, yes, that's courage.
You may not want to. You may not want to. Oh, hilarious.
Those of you who can read that. My mom is listening. I'm only willing to go, but so far. Hey, Walt, we love you, baby. I know, right? You know. Oh, I haven't watched it either. I am looking forward to it.
I hear it's a more dramatic series.
Yes.
And
it's the same premise, but I'm looking forward to it. And actually, I haven't bought the book. I've only been in a car where the audio book is being played. So I've heard bits and pieces of Will Smith's book.
Well, that's bomb.
It is really good, and I really plan to purchase it and listen to it. I haven't been listening to books. I haven't been doing none of that stuff, but that's something I'm looking forward to. And Pop has watched Bel-Air and says that it is a great series. So we should all watch it and get back together on it.
Yeah, it was definitely not the fry. You know what, initially, before, I mean, I would see excerpts, but I didn't know that it was actually being brought back as a dramatic series.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, you know. And shout out to the actors, because I hear they're doing a phenomenal job.
Absolutely. And I would be remiss not to at least do this.
Unfortunately, I may.
I can't with Julie. I cannot with Jill.
But you understand the innuendo? She brought back the classic innuendo.
What are you talking about? Innuendo? She's squirting her oil.
No, listen. But she's talking about a diesel engine. She squirted mad oil.
I get that.
But she's not saying to the window, to the wall, to the sweat drop down my, you fill in the rest. It is innuendo, and it's wordplay, and it's masterful, and it's brilliant.
It's chilly.
It's chilly, you know.
Don't need a cigarette.
All right. Shout out to you, Jill.
Shout out to Jill Scott. She's in it. You know what? People say, why don't you try to get Shaka on the show? I have never, not once, tried to get Shaka Khan on the show. I've not, you know, as you know, I do have a connection to Indira. I do have, you know, some connections to some people that know Shaka, and I don't know if she would come or not, but I have never tried. Because it would be crazy. Because I wouldn't be able to speak, probably.
I get it.
Maybe. I don't know. Jill is another one of them. Like, I love Jill Scott. I love Jill Scott in a particular kind of way. I loved.
Oh, she's a poet.
She's a poet. She's a vocal artist.
Classically trained.
She do some things with her voice and records. Records don't do her any justice. Like, her records are dope. Don't get me wrong. Of course her records are dope. But when you see her live, so we had an opera.
Mm-hmm.
An R&B opera.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, ooh. Can I have a cigarette, please? Yo, she take you on a trip. Shout out to Jill Scott. Love you. Love ya. And she's an Aries. That, well, there it is. Me and these Aries fire sign people. Me and the fire signs.
Mm-hmm. I'm so blessed. Yes, yes. This is the last take of the night.
You got Shaka on Therese. Would have to ask her everything. You know what? That's not necessarily true. To be honest, I do a lot of playing around that. But the truth is, I've met Shaka Khan a lot of times. And the last time, the most recent time was quite a few years ago, actually. Now, you know, I get confused with the pandemic being locked down for 2 years. It feels like what happened 2 years ago was recent. You know what I mean? It feels more recent because nothing happened, you know. But so it had to have been quite a few years. And the last time I saw her, she was singing. We were at the Blue Note. She was at the Blue Note. She sang. And everybody knows how small the Blue Note is in Manhattan, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very tight spot.
Mm-hmm.
So she came off the stage, and I was sitting in the aisle place, you know, the little aisle that they had. And everybody stood up, you know, because everybody thought she was leaving for good. I stood up, actually brushed past me, and she went upstairs, whatever. And I didn't say anything, right? When she came back to do her finale, as Shaka is known to do if she's feeling you. If she's not, it's good night, bitches. But, you know, she came back, and as she was walking by, right on cue, I said, before the story gets out of hand, and I'll tell you what I did when I went home, but I won't. I said, I just want you to know that I am a pure shockaholic, and I love you. And she looked at me, and she said, thank you so much. I love you, too. And she walked and got on. And that was cool. That was cool. You know what I'm saying? Shaka has an order of protection against Javon on the low, everyone. How you know about that, Pop? Pop, you can't be knowing everything.
Brenda said, I remember somebody got up in the middle of her show while she was talking and was talking loud, and she said, sit your ass down.
I could see that.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, everybody knows she's my boo. But I could talk to her like I could talk to anybody else. Also, it's internet.
Means nothing.
That's what you think, Therese.
Real time. And after, you wouldn't see your eyes because the whole time your cheeks would probably set them so far back in your skull.
I don't think so.
I do think you would get questions off. Yes, I do. I do think you would have questions. I think there would be a lot of statements made.
Yeah, I think I would probably closer to the end of the time with her. Whatever it is, if she says, okay, I'll give y'all 15 minutes. About maybe 11 minutes in, I'd remind her of some of the times that we saw each other. But I wouldn't tell her everything, remind her of everything that happened, because she might say, wait a minute, you are the one I have the order of protection against. I thought you would sound familiar.
Shaka's lawyer's online. Javon. Shaka. The daughter of Shango. he's scared. Yep, yep, yep. She is. That is.
Yeah. You know what? I was told that I'm a daughter of Shango. That's what I was told. But then I was also told that 1.0 Oshun, which I don't believe that one, but, you know, hey.
I am Oshun as well. Definitely.
Yeah, I was told Shango. I was told Oshun. I don't know. Either way.
We all have dualities.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's both. Could be.
I would say Oshun could be, if you're going to, Oshun could be my rising. And Shango is, you know, when the scales are not tipped.
Yeah, we gotta get your chart done, Rez. So, Miss Matthews, I don't know if you actually do charts, but Rezzy, you could send me your deets.
Okay, I have to get my time of birth.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
It should be on your birth certificate.
Okay,
different story. Date, time, and where? Yeah, location.
No.
Where were you born?
I know where. I just don't have the time. I have to get the birth record. You know, my particular birth certificate doesn't look like the birth certificates that they use now. So, you know, they have other information on it.
You know what? You're always special. You can't just have
not.
A damn birth certificate.
No, it doesn't look like the ones they're using now either.
Therese got the green eyed special.
Your birth certificate does not look like the one they have now.
No.
Have you seen it?
Yes, the little green one that's half ass or
first
something.
First of all, it's white. It's black and white.
So mine is a old brown. It sort of looks like a X-ray something or whatever. The original one looked, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, Javon, if you can yell and not get sore, then it could be Shango. Are you good with your hands? Maybe Ogun. Ogun is partial to Aries and Scorpio. I don't know much about Ogun.
Ogun sits near the door. It's a trickster.
A trickster?
Craftsman. Or is it Ogun?
I'm not great with my hands. I mean, I'm good with my hands. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not going to sculpt anything except, you know. Anyway, I don't want to get into that right now. My mother's listening. Damn it.
If you were born in one of the five boroughs, can 125 words in New York. I was not born in one of the five boroughs, unfortunately.
Accurate time gives you the ascendant. There's a rock you can find with all the info. Like you was born in Flintstones time. Is that what you're saying? If you were born in one of five boroughs, can write to 125th word. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
It's not. Yes, that's a Legba. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Governs the railroad, the subway, metal and iron.
Yes.
The subway.
Absolutely correct. And thank you for not having that in my head for the rest of the afternoon trying to figure out which one was the trickster. That's a Legba. Yes, he sits at the doorways.
Yabba dabba do, baby. All right, y'all. We're going to peace outy. And everybody, please stay safe and have a blessed, blessed weekend.
Yes. Peace, party people. See you later.
What's up, y'all? This is Dawn Robinson, formerly of In Vogue and Lucy Pearl, and you're in the basement with Javon and Therese. My girls. I love y'all.
Hi, this is Mason, and you're in the basement with Javon and Therese.
Perfect.
lately on some of your favorite movies that I'm at brunch, Therese and Siobhan. Stay here with me.
Still in the basement, no longer alone, with my homegirl Therese on the microphone. Music politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see that's what's up. You never know who might run through. Legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say. But it doesn't really matter what whoever says. It's always a good show with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with Javon and Therese. Yeah.
Come
on, everybody's a friend in my head. I already know everybody. One day I'll tell you about me and Shaka Khan, but you know.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but she doesn't know anything about it. But anyway, no, she doesn't. She wasn't even there actually. But anyway,
all our walls though, Jay.
I want to smell really, you know, nice.
Oh God.
Okie dokie, babe, whatever you say.
With time, so.
And we thank you for that.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. This part, that little piece, I'm just going to keep and play it all the time for myself. But no, I'm just teasing.
If you're interested in watching the show, you can catch us live on YouTube, WJBR Internet Radio.